Whatever thoughts I think are is my world. Whatever thoughts I think is my world. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Whatever thought I think is my world. Now, it's just as simple as that, just as strong as that, just as wonderful as that. Every thought I think is my world. I look out upon my world and I see people. I see circumstances. I see situations. I see experiences. I see all sorts of things. And as I look upon these things, I say, well, that is interesting. That's desirable. That's not desirable. And the more I do that, the more I am the creator of my world, creating my world to be exactly what I think it should be. So, I look at the newspaper, and the newspaper has stories about activities that are going on in the world, and some of them are not very nice. And as I read them, I empower those stories to go further, to be in my mind, to be in my world, to be in my thinking. And as I empower them, I make them mine, not only for the world, not only out there, but in here, in my inner self. For I have chosen to recognize that whatever thought I think is my world. Whatever thought I think is my world. Whatever thought I think is my world. Now, you say, boy, oh boy, we sure are running that topic to death. We sure are making a lot of stuff out of that, aren't we? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. I remember when Jan Stalder was learning how to drive. And he was here on campus, a very brilliant young man, very, very brilliant. And as he was learning to drive, he said, Herb, I want you to teach me to drive. So I said, fine, happy to do that, Jan. So we went off onto the country roads around here. Dirt roads where there was just virtually no other traffic at all. And I said, Jan, I want you to do two things. I want you to pay attention to what I tell you, and I want you to follow what I tell you. Now, when I say stop, you stop, whether you think you should stop or not, or whether you think there is something there for you to stop, or whatever you choose to do. And when I tell you to pull over to the side of the road because you're in the middle of the road and there's a car coming, and you don't see that car coming, but I tell you to pull over, and you must follow these instructions. Now, if you're willing to follow these instructions, I am happy to teach you how to drive. And he said, oh, yes, of course, happy to do that. And this 21-year-old young man who had not driven yet, he is from Switzerland, and he had not driven yet, and he was just so eager and so happy to drive. So he drove. He knew how to drive. He had read the books, and he had practiced driving the car around on the campus, and he was doing all sorts of good things. Well, we started out on our driving training program. And I said, okay, Jan, get in the car. And so he got in the car. And I said, now start up the car. And he said, okay. So he put the key in the ignition and started the car. I said, Jan, turn off the ignition. He turned off the ignition. The car stopped. And I said, Jan, what's the most important thing you do when you get in the car? Well, first thing I do is to walk around the car to make sure the car is all there. It's like when we fly an airplane. You make sure that someone hasn't taken the prop or hasn't removed a wheel or something like that so that you can properly fly your airplane, you can properly drive your car. You walk around it. Oh, come on now. That's old-fashioned. That's antique. You don't have to do that. I said, Jan, if you want me to teach you how to drive, then you follow my instructions. And he says, well, okay. So he got out of the car, walked around the car, and he said, everything is okay. Everything is there. I know it's there because we just drove out here. Well, pretend you didn't drive out here. Pretend you just got in the car first thing in the morning and you're going to look at the car to make sure that it's all okay. So he walked around the car again and he says, yep, it's okay. So then he got in the car and I said, Jan, what is the first thing you do when you get in the car? He said, well, first thing I do is adjust the seat. Make sure the seat is where I want to position it. And after I adjust the seat, then I put the seat belt on. And after I put the seat belt on, then I adjust the mirrors to make sure the mirrors are at my level, at my perception, not at somebody else's. And after I adjust the mirrors, then I make sure that everybody has their seat belt on and that we're ready to go. And I said, yes, that's correct. Now, what's the next thing you do? He said, well, the next thing to do is to start the car. And I said, first you make sure the car, you have your foot on the brake, so that if the car is in gear, if it has to be a gear shift car, or anything else, you make sure that the car is under your control. And when your right foot is on that gear shift, and then the brake, that is, when your right foot's on the brake, it's not on the gas. And so if you put your right foot on the brake always, the first thing before you start the car, then you've got control. That car is going to do what you want it to do. Now, is that what you like? Yep, that's what I like, he said. So, he made sure everything was in order, adjusted everything, did everything. Now, I say, start the car. So he started the car. And he put the ignition in, it was already there, turned it on, and the car is running fine. Now, I said, what's the next thing you do, Jan? He says, well, drive away. No, you don't. You look out your rear mirror, your rear view mirror, see if there's anybody coming up behind you so you don't pull out in front of them without knowing what you're doing. And you look in front of the car to make sure there's nobody coming down the road toward you, because you've been so interested in adjusting mirrors and seats and stuff like that, you weren't looking outside. So now you look outside to make sure that everything is clear outside. And when you fly an airplane, you shout clear, and then you start your prop. You start your engine. Well, in an automobile, we don't do that, but we do look around to see what's around us. Okay, so now, what's the next step, Jan? Well, I put it in gear. Well, what gear do you put it in? I put it in drive. Oh, that's right. This is an automatic shift, so you put it in drive. Your foot is still on the brake. Now, are you ready to go? Have you looked around to see if the traffic is free on the road? Well, Herb, there's no traffic out here. Well, I don't have to look around here. There's no traffic. Now, John, there's traffic around here. And so he looked around and he saw there was no traffic. And he says, I'm ready to go. I said, okay, now start to pull away from the curb and get into the traffic lane and drive. So he did that. And he drove beautifully. He is just a brilliant young man, just a fantastic, intelligent person. And so he drove. And as he drove, he did everything wonderful. And then I said, oh, Jan, stop. And so, in his own good-natured time, he stopped. And I said, Jan, I told you to stop. Well, what do you want me to do, jam on the brakes and make everybody fly forward? No, I just told you to stop. So that means you put your foot on the brake slowly, and you bring it to a normal stop, and you stop. Well, all right. So he did. We tried again and again, and I said, stop, and he did it. And I said, stop, and he did it. And I said, oh, yeah, and there's a little boy running across the street, running right across the road in front of the car. And he didn't stop. I said, Jan, you just ran over that little boy. He said, there's no little boy out there. I could not see a little boy. I said, Jan, I'm teaching you how to drive, and I want you to follow my instructions and follow them very well and not be uptight about it, not be nervous about it, not be upset about what I tell you to do. Because it's not your choice to do. Your choice will come in due time. But right now, you're following my choice. So now, let's start up again. No, look out the window first. Make sure all the traffic is clear. And so he pulled away from the invisible curb into the middle of the dirt road. And we drove along just fine. And I said, Jan, turn here. And he said, I don't see a place to turn. I said, there's a big open area here. Just turn where I told you to turn. And because I told you to turn. Now, I'm your instructor, so you follow my instructions and you do what I tell you to do. Well, if I don't see something, I don't do it. And I said, well, if you're watching me, if you're listening to me, and I'm your instructor, you do what I tell you. Now, when you're here alone, then you make your own decisions. But meanwhile, you have learned how to follow principle, how to follow the rules, and how to drive correctly. And as you do that, you'll apply that under all circumstances. Well, we drove for a good half hour or better, and Jan was very unhappy with driving because he didn't like to be told what to do. He didn't like anyone to tell him how to turn and how to do this. And he's like most of us. We all are wanting to be individualistic. We want to make our own choices, our own mind. We want to not have somebody tell us what to do. And as we drove, Jan showed more reticence to being upset and more happiness with my giving him suggestions. And by the time we finished the driving, I said, Jan, you're doing just fine. And if you want me to instruct you in anything, then just remember, I'm your teacher, you do whatever I tell you. And if you don't want me to instruct you, then you tell me and you go and do it yourself and figure out all the little intricacies of driving or whatever you're doing by yourself, and that's okay. Now, whatever thought I think is my world. Now, what thought were you thinking while you were driving, Jan? I was thinking that you were kind of stupid asking me to do things that weren't even there to be done. I said, okay. If I say to you, 2 times 2 is 4, and I say, write that down, and you say, why? I see no 2s and no 2s to make them 4s. And I said, that's correct. But you're following the program. You're learning the principle. You're learning how to use the principle and apply the principle under all circumstances. But first, you have to learn the principle. If you never learn mathematics, you'll find it difficult doing your sums when you go to the grocery store or doing anything in life. And if you don't learn the language, you won't be able to communicate. But you learn the language, and then you learn the language as a basic, and you say, that's enough, I can get by. And pretty soon you have friends who are more articulate in that language, and you want to learn the language more beautifully, and so then you learn it more and more wonderfully. Now, I wouldn't say that Jan was a 500 race car driver. I wouldn't say that he had the skill and the magnificence of driving of a race car driver, and I know I don't either. At least I don't practice it right now. And I wouldn't expect that out of him. But the race car driver has to learn to feel the seat of his pants as he goes around curves and corners and as he makes moves. He has to make sure that as he's making these very speedy turns and what have you, that he doesn't flip the car over and crush himself inside and make the whole thing a mess. He has to learn all of those little details. He has to learn that he must listen to his inner thought. He must listen to his inner self and follow what it tells him and drive beautifully and powerfully and well. And a mother must listen to her child. And when the child does something naughty, the mother must realize, what is wrong with the experience? Why is the child being naughty? The child's not being naughty because it just wants to be naughty. It doesn't have that capacity. The child is being naughty because some thought got into its mind that made it feel that it was not being treated fairly or something. And so the mother who is wise and the mother who is the mother who really cares and loves her child, she'll say, sweetheart, what seems to be the problem? Come, let's sit down and talk about it. And the child, nah, rah, 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 you know. very recalcitrant. And the mother says, come on, sweetheart, let's have a cup of cocoa and let's talk about this. So together they sit down at the kitchen table with a cup of cocoa, maybe a little ice cream too. And as they talk about it, the boy begins to tell his mother what's on his mind. And the mother says, well now, what can we do to take care of that? How can we handle that? What sort of thinking can we have in our mind that lets us handle that? And it ain't thinking, you gotta go punch him in the nose. No, it's not the punch him in the nose time. It's thinking time. Now, why did he do that to you that made you so upset that you got upset with me? Now, you may never know why he did that to you. Now, do you like him as a friend? Yeah. Do you want him to be a friend? Yeah. Then you be a friend and just ignore what he has done. Ignore his unhappiness and just be happy and be loving and say, hey, Jimbo, what's going on? You seem all uptight. Come on, share it with me. And so Jimbo says, oh, all right, Jan, I'll share it with you. And so Jimbo shares it, and all of a sudden, all of the upsetness, all the uptightness, all the violence, all the unhappiness of the world is gone because it's not in your heart. It's not in your life. It's not in your experience. And what do you do about it? You have been the peacemaker, okay? How did you learn to be the peacemaker? Well, your mom first started you out on being the peacemaker by caring enough about your problems to help you balance them so that you could balance them in all areas of your life, with your friends, with your neighbors, with your brothers and sisters, with all in your world. Now, we all have that privilege. We all have that privilege. Whatever thought I think is my world. So, I'm going to think thoughts that are supportive, that are uplifting, thoughts that bring me happiness, thoughts that bring me joy, thoughts that have me be in total charge of my world and my experiences, so that everything I see in my world is something I have had a thought about in my life. And because everything I see in my world is something I had a thought about in my life, it is a good thing that I'm seeing. It is a good experience that I'm having. It is a good world that I'm living in. I am master of it. Well, now, Jan went on to be an excellent driver. He went on to be an exquisite person in all the things that he works on and all the things that he does. He went on to be in telecommunication and to work in television. He works in many different areas, and everything he does with magnificence because he is a magnificent person. Now, does he like what he does? Yes, he does. Where did he learn to like what he did? Well, when his father taught him not to fight against things, but to flow with them, not to be inharmonious with life, but to bring the harmony that's from your own heart into it. And so he brought that into it. And I was blessed to be a little factor in his working on the continuing problem, not the problem, but the continuing experience of being master of all in his world. You and I have the same privilege Jan has. We have the same privilege of looking at our world and seeing it exactly how we are inside of us. If the little boy and his mother had never come to terms with the little boy's misunderstanding, it might have been a long time before he came to it. He might never have come to it, or he might have come to it in many years to pass. Sometimes it takes a long time for us to realize that we come to terms with life's experiences. But whatever thought I think, that thought that I'm thinking is my world. Whatever idea I have is my world. This morning, I wanted to brush Rex. And Rex has his heavy winter coat on. And my golden retriever is a fantastic dog. And his heavy winter coat was very thick and gnarly. So I was brushing, and I was brushing. And for an hour, I brushed his coat, and I combed his coat, and I combed out the snarls, and I combed out all the little things. And I checked him over thoroughly, just checking him from head to toe, in his toes, in his nose, in his mouth, in his eyes, his whole body. And I expected to find him having a wonderful combed body. I had to do the combing. But I expected to find him with a wonderful comb body. And I combed. Oh, I hit and snarled here and there, and he'd say, eh? And I'd say, sorry, buddy. And I would go a little more gently. And then after I finished brushing him, and after I finished combing him, and after I finished making him look just beautiful, then I took my fingers, and I worked over his entire body, gently feeling in with my fingers every inch of his skin, to make sure there were no visitors there that weren't invited. And there was nothing on his body. There were no lumps or bumps. There were no experiences on his body that was not his natural being. He was free. Every day, I create Rex. I surround him with my pure white light of love. Every day, I create Rex as my ideal dog. Every day, I create him as being wonderful, beautiful. And I create his skin as being lovely and fresh and wonderful. And he smells just so good, like a clean, clean dog. He is just fantastic. But whatever thought I hold, whatever thought I think, is my world. Now, Rex was my world this morning. I got up, got myself ready, and then I got Rex ready. And then I got prepared to give my talk. And so I worked with Rex. I worked with him lovingly, beautifully, fantastically. I touched him and held him, and he loved it. And he thinks that that's the most wonderful thing in the world, because he knew that I was showering him with absolute love. Oh, like Jan, he wanted to do it his way. It hurt a little bit when a snarl was in his fur, and gently I combed it out. Jan frowned a little bit when somebody else was telling him how to do what he perfectly well knew how to do, because he read the book and he had been sitting with his father's driving in their car all his life, and with an excellent driver as a guide, he knew. But we all have teachers. Now, Rex had a teacher, me. I was combing his wonderful fur. And as I combed his fur, I came to a snag, and he let me know. Jan let me know when he felt he could do what I was teaching him to do. Life is going to let us know that sometimes we're telling it to do things that it doesn't want to be told what to do. But if we are going to realize that whatever I think is my world, if whatever I think is my world, I'm going to be very careful about what I think. And if somebody comes along and says, hey, what are you thinking? What are you creating there? What are you doing? Parents oftentimes make the statement, if their children are quiet, they're getting into trouble. Well, that's the parents. That's what the parents had done. Whenever the parents were quiet, they got in trouble. And the parents' parents, whenever they were quiet, they got in trouble. And the parents' parents' parents, whenever they're... You see, it comes down to... Now, here we've got a new parent. And the parent says, when the children are quiet, oh, they're thinking beautiful thoughts. They're doing wonderful ideas. They are brilliant. Now, if a child's a mathematician and he's working on his math, it's quiet. He may have the radio on, but it's quiet. When a child is working on reading a book, he's quiet. He's not making noise, and he's not doing anything wrong. Maybe he's reading the wrong thing sometimes, but we always help them, guide them into reading the right things by getting them excited about what it is that is going to be beneficial to them to have in their thought system. We too can have in our beneficial thought system thoughts that all is in divine order. All is in divine order. Oh, yes. All is in divine order. We can have thoughts in our thought system that say, we are wonderful beings. The world is a wonderful world. And when we have thoughts like this, then we are the creators of a magnificent world. We are the creators of a magnificent series of thoughts, and we are in charge. Yes, there's a time for Jan to be in charge. There's a time for you and I to be in charge. And as far as we're concerned, now is the acceptable time. Whatever thought I think is my world, and my thoughts are good, beautiful, positive, and loving. Have a wonderful day thinking wonderful, beautiful thoughts. And know that, like Rex just loves to be cuddled, he loves to be petted, he loves to be combed, and he loves to be loved. All your world and my world love to be loved. And to start you off on the right track, know that I love you. I love you. I love you.